Calorama, a Recorded Books Highbridge imprint, presents Personality Wins: Who Will Take the White House and How We Know, by Merrick Rosenberg with Richard Ellis. Read by Jonathan Yen. Author's Note: More than 1,000 people have filed to run for President of the United States in 2020. When we began drafting this book in summer of 2019, we made a list of the most prominent candidates. Some, like Kirsten Gillibrand, dropped out before we could write their chapters. Others, like Michael Bloomberg, joined the race in time for us to add them. Deval Patrick joined and left the race between revisions, so we got lucky. Some of the candidates we cover in this book have already dropped out of the race. All but two, or a few, will drop out eventually. Since we weren't sure who would depart and when, we wrote this book in a conditional tense. We know that Kamala Harris is not in the race anymore. However, we can still learn from her personality and consider how she would have performed in the general election. As for the other 1,000 or so candidates, we're sorry we couldn't cover you. Yes, we're talking to you, Joe Mama, and Dumb Ugly, and Vermin Love Supreme, and Sexy Vegan. We acknowledge you for filing with the Federal Election Commission, but we don't think you will be on the ballot in November. Maybe next time. Section 1. The Winning Personality. The Landslide That Wasn't. It was the upset of the century to anyone who accepted the conventional wisdom about how to predict a U.S. presidential election. There was no way that Donald J. Trump could defeat Hillary Rodham Clinton to become the next president of the United States. Or at least, that's what most experts and polls were predicting. 2 days before the election, Princeton University data scientists gave Hillary Clinton 99% odds of beating Trump. Their model had correctly called 49 out of 50 states in the 2012 election. The Los Angeles Times, Moody's, Fox News, the Associated Press, the New York Times, Reuters, Ipsos, ABC News, Bloomberg, The Economist, the betting markets, and nearly every other news source you can think of called the election in favor of Clinton. There was such over-the-top confidence in Clinton that op-eds from October had headlines like, "Hillary Clinton will win, but what kind of president will she be?" Other articles worried about what to call Bill Clinton after Hillary's inevitable victory. First man, first gentleman, first partner, first dude. It was worth considering, since Hillary would win by a landslide. Every pollster and pundit gave Hillary monster odds of trouncing Trump. But there was a difference between what the numbers said and what people did. Excited about Hillary. "Hillary Clinton faces an enthusiasm gap," said Berkeley professor Robert Reich, who served as Secretary of Labor in Bill Clinton's administration. "I don't know many people who are extremely excited about her candidacy." Even Republican presidential candidate Dr. Ben Carson, who has all the charisma of a Valium prescription, threw shade in an op-ed. "The political elites and their loyal media are desperate because they are seeing the large enthusiastic crowds for Donald Trump and the meager crowds for Hillary Clinton, and they know that there will be a huge enthusiasm gap on Election Day." CNN ran an entire news segment about Hillary's enthusiasm gap. One clip showed Clinton trying to look tough and cover her heart with one hand, Obama style. In Clinton monotone, she said, We've got to defend the American workers' right to organize and bargain for better wages and benefits. We're going to get incomes rising here in Western Michigan and across this state." Seconds later in the clip, Trump boasted, "We will stop the jobs from leaving your state." He was in his element. Something about his approach, his communication style, and his demeanor generated, well, enthusiasm. But where did this enthusiasm come from? Were his policies more carefully defined? Not really. Did he have a more compelling resume than Clinton? That's not it either. So why did one candidate create raving fans and another create an enthusiasm gap? The lesser of two personalities. Polls captured what people do if they had to vote, which they don't. Just over 61% of voting-age Americans went to the polls in 2016. Despite what all polls and data scientists said, the media focused on the personalities of Clinton and Trump. We heard it after every debate. We read about it in the blogosphere. We watched it on every 24-hour news station. "She's too robotic. He's too brash. She's too dispassionate. He's too aggressive." While Trump generated enthusiasm, he lacked likability. In fact, a shocking number of Americans disliked the personalities of both candidates. For about two-thirds of Americans, voting against Clinton or Trump was the main reason for supporting their opponent. Many people couldn't bring themselves to vote for their party's candidate. The people who disliked Trump were concerned about his temperament and unpredictability. Many Clinton haters said, "I just didn't like her." Were political pundits and everyday Americans onto something? Does personality really make a difference in the election process? The answer is a resounding yes. It's all about personality. On November 8, 2016, Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton with 304 electoral votes to 227. The polls and pundits were wrong. For those who say, "Yeah, but Hillary got more actual votes than Trump," that's true. But in the end, Donald Trump put his hand on the Bible and was sworn in as the 45th President of the United States. This book is about why candidates win elections, not how to reform electoral politics. Why did Trump fill convention centers and stadiums, while Clinton could barely pack a high school auditorium or community center? The answer is hidden in plain sight. If you looked at the personalities of Trump and Clinton instead of their polling numbers, 2016 was completely predictable. In fact, every election, and we mean every election since Franklin Delano Roosevelt's first run in 1932, was predictable. Personality has won the day in 22 straight elections. Let that sink in for a moment. Regardless of whether the country was at war or peace, personality determined the outcome. Regardless of whether one candidate was an incumbent or both were running for the first time, personality determined the outcome. Regardless of whether the economy was booming or flailing, personality determined the outcome. For 84 years of elections, personality has determined who takes the White House. We've been thinking about elections all wrong. As a nation, we act as if elections are about party, platform, and policy, because we'd like to think they determine how an enlightened democracy elects its leader. But that doesn't square with the facts. If you want to know what will happen in 2020, forget about those, "When I am president, here's what I am going to do," plans. Instead, focus on what matters, the candidates' personalities. We can hear it now. What about die-hard party loyalists? Don't they always vote party first? Sure, many voters will only vote for their party's nominee. They've done it before and will do it again. Of course, we hear about the infamous undecideds. These folks can swing to either side of the political spectrum, as the term swing voters implies. What variable pulls them to one side of the pendulum versus the other? You're about to discover that it's the personalities of the candidates. To be clear, we're not trashing policies. They are critical to the health of our government and society. We're just saying that people don't vote for presidential candidates based on their policies. We vote for who they are, not what they say they will do. If we want to understand how our democracy works, we need a model that matches reality and predicts elections. And if you want that, well, the heck with platform. It's all about personality. Section 2. Which bird are you? Personality in everything. At President Ronald Reagan's first State of the Union address in 1982, he opened the way that only the Gipper could. President Washington began this tradition in 1790 after reminding the nation that the destiny of self-government and the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty is finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. For our friends in the press who place a high premium on accuracy, let me say, I did not actually hear George Washington say that. This is the most important annual speech on the president's calendar, and Reagan started with a joke that pokes fun at himself and the media. What would prompt him to do that? Look no further than Reagan's personality. Personality is reflected in everything we do. We see it in our daily actions. We see it in characters from books and movies. We see it in our spouse and our co-workers. We also see it in the way candidates run for office, and in the way a president speaks and governs. Reagan had a big personality that lit up rooms and helped him win elections. In 2020 election coverage, the personalities of the candidates have taken center stage. Donald Trump has held rallies with soundbite slogans like "Lock her up" and "Build the wall." Biden can't get through a public address without botching the story of a war hero or mixing up the First and Second Amendments. And Elizabeth Warren is selling T-shirts with the slogan, "Warren has a plan for that." If personality is that important in presidential elections, let's take a step back to discuss what we mean, and don't mean, by personality. What is personality anyway? Allow us to nerd out briefly. The American Psychological Association, APA, which is presumably filled with people who understand human behavior, says that personality refers to individual differences in characteristic patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving. So, personality is a combination of what people experience inside and what others see on the outside. Many behaviors reflect personality, but some don't. Anyone can be respectful, honest, courageous, or reliable, regardless of their personality. Likewise, anyone can be mean, deceitful, cowardly, or reckless. There is a big difference between personality and concepts like values and ethics. We will leave the latter to philosophers. There are also vast differences between personality, intelligence, and mental well-being. We will leave those topics to psychologists. Skills like creativity, leadership, and negotiation aren't exclusive to one type of personality. For some, creative art looks abstract and messy. For others, art must be perfectly realistic, like a portrait that resembles a photograph. Personality does not determine how creative people will be, but it absolutely shapes how they will go about being creative. The same is true about leadership. Personality does not determine how successful someone will be as a leader, but it does shape how that individual will lead. For example, Richard Branson's fly-by-the-pants leadership style at Virgin Group is different from the way that Steve Jobs led Apple. Branson, known to be democratic, unpretentious, and upbeat, treated his employees with dignity. In public, he was never afraid to be the butt of a joke. He dressed up in a $10,000 wedding gown for the launch of Virgin Brides in 2006. He also wore a spacesuit to the press conference announcing Virgin Galactic, his space travel company. Jobs, on the other hand, was famed for being autocratic, brash, and unforgiving. Neither employees nor business partners were spared from his profanity-laced tirades and penchant for public humiliation. He took himself and his accomplishments very seriously. In 2007, Jobs introduced the first iPhone in the same black turtleneck and blue jeans he wore daily. On stage at Macworld, he said that Apple was going to reinvent the phone 6 times. He said the word revolutionary 12 times and breakthrough 7 times. Although Branson and Jobs had almost opposite personalities, they both built multi-billion-dollar companies. They just went about it differently. The same is true for the White House. Presidents with different personalities have led the country to prosperity. As we discuss the personalities of the presidential candidates throughout this book, it's important to note that we are not talking about their odds of succeeding in office. We're addressing how likely they are to win an election. Doesn't integrity matter? We don't view politicians the way we view coworkers, friends, and partners. In friendships and romantic relationships, integrity comes first and personality second. Nobody wants to be in a relationship with someone who lies, cheats, or steals. Presidential candidates get way more leeway than people in our personal lives. Why? Maybe they get a pass on character because we're naturally skeptical of anyone who wants power. Is it so surprising that people who want power lie to get it? It would be great if presidential candidates didn't rattle off lies and get caught by FactCheck.org and PolitiFact. But as long as the U.S. is safe and the economy is healthy, we cut presidents slack. Most people wouldn't be happy with a spouse who is truthful 90% of the time, yet most of us can live with a president who only stretches the truth 10% of the time. As the old joke goes, how do you know if a politician is lying? His lips are moving. Americans elected presidents with the nicknames Tricky Dick and Slick Willie. We didn't care. For better or worse, character doesn't seem to matter when America chooses a president. About that personality training your boss made you sit through. If you work for a corporation, there's a good chance you've taken a personality assessment and done some personality styles training. You spent the day looking at reports, learning a model, and boiling your personality down to a few letters. Maybe you took the Myers-Briggs type indicator and discovered that you are an ENTJ. Or perhaps you completed a DISC, D-I-S-C, profile and learned that you are a D. If you don't know what any of that means, don't worry. 3 months after the training, neither do most of the people who have learned them. If you do happen to remember your personality type, you must use it every day. The insights you gained about your style guide how you communicate and interact with the people in your life. It is your secret power that helps you get along with everyone. Right? Probably not. Most likely, the results of those personality assessments are filed in a drawer, never to be seen again. You have no idea what other people's letters are, and you don't even remember your own. You can't read people's personalities, even though someone at your company paid a lot of money for those acronyms. To understand the presidential candidates, and everyone around us for that matter, we need a better model. We need something that you can learn in seconds and never forget. It needs to be intuitive, so you don't have to memorize anything. It should be visual, so you can see the personality styles in everyone you meet. It has to be practical and easy. Let's discard the DISC letters introduced by Dr. William Marston in his 1928 book, The Emotions of Normal People, and replace them with something that doesn't need to be memorized. 5 years from now, you'll still be able to use this model, because it's just that memorable and simple. Enter the four birds. Welcome to the birdhouse. In Taking Flight and The Chameleon, books by yours truly, Merrick Rosenberg, four birds were introduced to symbolize the personality styles. Instead of the alphabet soup of letters used in so many personality assessments, the birds make it easy to learn about yourself and others. It's time to use your imagination. Take a moment to think about an eagle. Picture how that eagle stands and looks out over the forest. Visualize that eagle flying at 10,000 feet. Now, picture a person with the traits of an eagle. What characteristics come to mind? Maybe you thought of someone who is confident, assertive, direct, and decisive. You may have thought of words like visionary, daring, or take charge. And if results-oriented came to mind, you're right on target. Eagles are all business. They call it like it is and make things happen. Spoiler alert, George W. Bush, Donald Trump, and Bernie Sanders are eagles. Bush was the decider, after all. And Trump and Sanders are pretty blunt and direct. What about a parrot? Visualize this brightly colored bird amongst a flock of her friends. What are the first words that come to mind? Talkative, perhaps? Maybe social, outgoing, and fun. If those words came to mind, you're feeling the right vibe. Parrots are also optimistic, enthusiastic, and fun-loving. They typically have a contagious smile, and their wild ideas inspire people to take risks and try new things. They love the spotlight and revel in being the life of the party or the center of attention. Spoiler alert number two. Can you feel John F. Kennedy, Bill Clinton, and Joe Biden's parrot energy? Their toothy grins and charisma can be seen and felt across a crowded room. How about a dove? Imagine the soothing sounds of these gentle birds as you identify their traits. What comes to mind? Maybe you selected words like calm or peaceful. As the universal symbols of love, harmony, and compassion, they seek to help others. As for conflict, no thanks. It tears at the fabric of collaboration and togetherness. Doves are usually more reserved and in no rush to change or disrupt the status quo. They're great listeners and want to be there for you and everyone in their life. Spoiler alert number 3, picture Jimmy Carter or Pete Buttigieg. Both talk a lot about their personal values and giving back to the community. Finally, what is the first word you think of when you picture an owl? If you're like most people, the word wise or wisdom comes to mind. From the Owl of Athena in ancient Greek mythology to owl in Winnie the Pooh, this bird has been characterized as thoughtful and knowledgeable throughout history. We're not saying that the owl personality is the smart one. Remember, intelligence doesn't correlate to style. Still, the logical and observant nature of the owl radiates wisdom. What other words come to mind? You may have thought of analytical, detail-oriented, or accurate. They love to ask questions. Even the sound they make is a question. Who? Accident or just happy coincidence? We'll let you decide. Know this. Owls are all about plans and tactics. If they are going to do something, you can bet that they have a plan for it. Spoiler alert number 4, George H.W. Bush and Elizabeth Warren are owls. They have plans galore. Notice how you were able to identify the traits of the eagles, parrots, doves, and owls. The birds embody the 4 personality types, making them easy to remember and apply. Soon, you'll be able to identify the styles of people around you, as well as the presidential candidates. You may already be thinking about which bird you, your spouse, your kids, and your coworkers are. Before you start playing personality whisperer, a few things to note. First, we have all 4 styles. We each have varying levels of eagle, parrot, dove, and owl, and many of us are so strong in 2 styles that a personality assessment would reveal that we're a combination of 2. If you would like to take the assessment to identify your bird style, go to takeflightlearning.com/profile to purchase an online profile. Second, we can display any behavior regardless of our personality. Some situations require us to be flexible and take on the styles that are less natural to us. Picture a parrot talking to an IT person because she encountered the blue screen of death. When this technician asks what the parrot was doing prior to this catastrophe, the parrot may want to reply, "I don't know, it just died." Most parrots have no interest in troubleshooting a problem or explaining the specifics of what they were doing just before the breakdown. An owl, in the same situation, might say, "I wrote down the last 10 actions I took before the blue screen. I just emailed them to you in a bulleted list, starting with the earliest action and ending with the most recent." In order to communicate more effectively, the parrot could explain her actions in detail, as if she were an owl. We can all be flexible when we need to be. The more flexible we are, the more effective we are. When we lack flexibility, we get into trouble. Third, people can change over time. Life experiences can impact us so profoundly that our personality changes over time. Imagine the structured, disciplined owl who becomes more carefree and parrot-like in retirement. Picture the dove who has had enough of people stepping on him and starts to act more eagle-like. He learns to stand in his power and assert his needs with conviction. Our personalities don't change quickly, easily, or dramatically, but they can change a bit over time. Fourth, some traits are shared by all presidential candidates. Whatever their style, candidates for president tend to be confident, ambitious, optimistic, active, competitive, courageous, dutiful, idealistic, outspoken, and even a bit narcissistic. Wouldn't they need to be a bit conceited to think that they should be the one to run the world?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?